This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Today is Tuesday, March 12th, 2024, and we are officially 44 days away from the NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan. Time is dwindling. Free agency is upon us, and teams are starting to see what their roster could look like going into the 2024 NFL draft. Welcome into the Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite, a taste you can depend on. We've got Nick Harris, the great Brian Broaddus, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Small crew today. A lot of stuff going on today. A lot of free agency news, breaking news. People taking care of looking at. Oh, we got a light change in here. Everything around what this NFL season could look like in 2024. But Brian, right now, it's a whole lot of inaction for the Cowboys before going into draft time.
Yeah, it's if you've been around this team enough, if you've worked for this team like you guys do, you kind of understand where they're at. You run into people in the hallways. They kind of give you a little bit of a whisper, a little heads up, like, listen, we're going to try and sign our own here. You know, we've got some contracts we've got to look at. We've got to maybe move some money around. But it's something that you kind of expect. I know on 105.3, The Fan, that we talk about it quite a bit. It seems like a really sad day for people that follow this football team. They see other teams spending money, picking up players and all. But you know, this the one thing about this team, it has a plan for how they want to do things and how they want to operate. As much as we all hate it, they draft really, really well. And we keep talking about that in a way because I know some teams in the league that have to keep spending money in free agency because they don't draft well. Mm. And that's the reason why we have a show here, you know, to talk about the draft. But I can understand the Cowboy fans' frustration. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I look at what the Commanders did yesterday, and other than Frankie Luvo, I'm kind of like, okay, what did they do?
Yeah.
You know, they seem like they spent a lot of money. Yeah, the players they got, a lot of Dallas Cowboy guys, replaceable players. And Cowboys talked about drafting a center. You know, that's something you visit with. And they talked about moving on. They knew they had to get better there. You know, the edge rushers. Yeah, they know they have to probably get better there. You know, this is, you know, you let guys go for a reason. And, you know, the Commanders there are picking up the pieces. But, like, did they really get better? I think they've added some nice pieces. I wouldn't say they got great. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles adding Saquon Barkley. The only hope that you got to think about if you're, you know, a Cowboy fan there is he doesn't turn into, McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he finds his health.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden now he's playing games at a very, very high level, which he's capable of. But that's a guy that they spend a good portion of their cap on, a player that has an injury history. So I know it's frustrating for Cowboy fans, and, you know, focus on the draft, focus on these players, and that's what we're going to do here this week, try and get you ready for that.
Yeah, I think this draft only becomes more important. I feel like they've been saying that ever since it was 99 days, and now what is it today, 43 days or whatever?
44.
44, there you go. But, yeah, you're looking at all these free agents departing. We're going to have a fun draft show next year talking about these comp picks, man.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a really fun draft show next year, but talking
Load
about free
up,
agency,
bring them in,
yeah.
Make
talking
it
about
happen.
Talking about free agency, I think it's something that's kind of popped in my mind as yesterday went on and even this morning. Are the Cowboys in a situation now where they have to trade back, where they need to pick up an extra pick? I think they are.
Yeah,
I think they have to pick up an extra one at some point, whether that's a day two, day three, doesn't matter. I think they need an extra guy.
I really like, and I talked to Dane Brugler about this, and he had a mock draft where he traded back to Buffalo and he picked up 99, the third round pick, which was, you know, the end of the second day.
Buffalo's at 27?
Buffalo's at
28?
27, I want to believe.
They're at 28.
28? Okay. So you go back the four spots.
I'd do that.
And then you pick up, say you do pick up 99, that pick.
Third round pick?
You don't have a pick in the fourth round. So to me, if you could get all those picks inside the top 100, it kind of sets you up, though, that for some, I think, some good things as far as the way the board could shake out for you and the way the guy, you know, you of who you could potentially grab, you know. Because, like I say, I always love the third day of the draft. I love how, you know, after the second day, you could sit there and you could look at your board and you're kind of like, okay, you can map this thing out that maybe how you can navigate and get some guys. And, you know, teams that have those options in the fourth round, maybe they can move around and grab a guy or two that they surely could use that they might have had a higher grade. Maybe they had a second or third round grade on a guy that's still on their board,
yeah,
and they just didn't get to him. And so now you take the opportunity in that start of day three to grab a guy. So I'm with you, Nick, on this. Any way to navigate it to where you could grab a guy – or, excuse me, grab a pick but still get the quality of the player you want, whether a tackle, a center – you know, any one of the numerous positions that we've talked about in this this period.
And there's no way that happens pre-draft night,
no,
right? Because you want to see what falls to you.
Yeah. No.
You want to see what falls to 24. Jackson Powers Johnson falls to 24.
Amarius Mims
falls to 24. Yeah. Then you've got your at least tackle or center taken care of, which are two glaring needs at this point in time.
Right.
But if, let's say, there are a couple names there, Graham Barton's available and Powers Johnson's gone, Mims is gone.
Yeah.
You can trade back, pull the parachute, you go back four spots, you pick up a third round.
Yeah, you never want to trade away from a player that you feared that you might lose along the way.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel like you've got the numbers at a certain position and you're comfortable, you know, I remember, you know, making a trade back, and this goes all the way back to the Roy Williams days, the safety from Oklahoma, where we sat in the room. And Jerry Jones had Carl Peterson from Kansas City on the phone and Frank Gilliam on the phone from Minnesota at the same time. And we were trying to pick up a third-round pick to move back a few spots. And, you know, Jerry got Frank and both Carl to admit who they were going to take, which you never see happen. I mean, it usually they tell you, oh, we're taking a defensive player here. Oh, we're taking an offensive player here. Jerry got him to admit, and Jerry hung up the phone and says, they're not taking our guy. Let's just take the best deal and move back. And, you know, it worked out that way, you know, for us in that particular time. So sometimes if there's a cluster of guys that you like at a position and you feel comfortable taking one of those guys, whether they're all kind of tags touching like we always talk about,
yep,
by all means, move back and try and grab it. But never trade away from a guy that, don't ever – and Jerry said this before – you would hate to trade away from a guy, and all of a sudden, the next pick, that guy goes, and now you're feeling like, okay, we just did something terrible here. But if you got a cluster of guys, all those tackles, maybe a couple of those centers are there, maybe the defensive tackles they're looking. I don't know. I was talking yesterday. I found out they're going to play Mozzie Smith as a one technique. You know, going to put weight back on him and play him as a one. Their thought maybe, oh, he might be a three with all this weight loss and stuff. But talking to some guys here in the building, they said, no, we're going to play him at one. So, you know, maybe the defensive tackle, it still might be a spot that you're needing to look mm-hmm. at there, especially the one technique.
And I don't think there's necessarily a situation where you have to trade back in the first and still pick up a pick.
I mean,
you're expecting all these comp picks to come in 2025. Granted, the chickens haven't hatched yet, but you're expecting to have those in 2025. Trade one, trade
start
two.
Start moving, yeah.
Yeah, and get a pick this year. I think you can kind of parlay that into, again, getting an extra guy on day two or day three. Probably day three, but there's still an option for day two as well.
It puts a strain on the NFL draft whenever it comes down to, and we talked about this a little bit on the last show at Talking Cowboys, there's now two glaring needs, left tackle and center.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like your left tackle's returning. Your center is already signed in Washington. So offensive line, there's two open spots there that you need to take care of. Running back is now a huge piece with Tony Pollard now going to Tennessee. Out of the first day of free agency, Brian, when you look at the pieces that have left, which one affects the draft process the most?
Well, you know, it's funny. We talk about Tyron Smith, and I think on a lot of people's boards that maybe Tyron Smith was the best tackle out there.
Mm.
He didn't go on the first day.
No, he didn't.
And neither did any other tackle.
Yeah. So now you're kind of wondering what people are thinking about these tackles. You know, is there such a depth in the draft that somebody would rather have a cheaper, younger, maybe in some cases a better tackle? If you know, I mean, I know Tyron Smith. We all know who Tyron Smith is. I'm going to say this, and I know I'm kind of putting it out there. I'm not closing the door on Tyron Smith, and I'll tell you this reason why. If he was going to go somewhere, to me, the Commanders made a whole lot of sense. just because Dan Quinn knows what it takes to get him to the game every week. I visited with some coaches about Tyron Smith. They love the player, but they also love players that practice, you know? And you're not always willing to say, and especially with Tyron Smith going into a new system, Tyron Smith going in learning a new offense, you know, you need to practice these things. And you wonder if somebody signs Tyron Smith and they're going to say, okay, we're not going to practice you. We're not going to do,
yeah.
You know, Dan Quinn's the one guy that's seen it work. And so to me, that would be, but the fact that these tackles haven't gone, I think that tells you a little something that people are looking at these boards and they're looking at their board or they're coming out of the combine and they're going, man, we don't have to spend money on a tackle like this.
Yeah.
And look at the flip side of that. Look at all the running backs that came off the board yesterday and coincide that with the running back class.
That's a great point, because what happened with the running back class is that I know me, I've never seen a running back free agent class historically looked like this. I felt like there was going to be a run on running backs. I didn't expect it to start like at $12, $13 million. I didn't expect that. You know, Tony Pollard, you know, getting $8 million. I was thinking Tony Pollard was probably going to get $3 to $4 million. Mm-hmm. But to get twice that, that just shows you what – you know, Josh Jacobs, guys like that, everybody saw running backs like, okay, you can devalue them all you want, but when they're this good, let's go get one.
$24 million for Pollard, $24 yeah. over three for DeAndre Swift, $38 million over three for Saquon Barkley, $48 million for 4 years over Josh Jacobs.
Good player.
And all of these names were already expected to be free agents.
Yeah.
And then you have Joe Mixon pop up.
Yeah.
Then you have Aaron Jones pop up.
Right.
And both of those guys are already taken care of as well.
To Nick's point, though, also it's about maybe about the running back class, or your point as well, Kyle. The running back class, you know, it's – and I'm sure we'll get into it today. You know, there's some really good running backs in this, depending on how you want to view them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of short running backs in this thing, too.
Yeah.
A lot of 5'8 running backs. They're going to get the opportunity to get drafted.
5'10, 5'8, 5'11. I mean, Marshawn Lloyd, USC, 5'9. I mean,
really good player, by the way.
Do you feel like it's an indictment on the high end level of running backs in this draft? You don't have Jahmyr Gibbs. You don't have Bijan Robinson in this draft class. You're probably going to start your list with a Jonathan Brooks from Texas, Trey Benson from Florida State, Bucky Irving from Oregon, Blake Corum, Michigan. Those are the guys that are going to start it. They're not high-level guys. Is that why these high-level running backs that are already in the league, Nick, have taken that step and were secured pretty quickly in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. If you're looking at a team and you see a hole in your running back room, you go get a guy that's been proven to be your RB1 and go get a complimentary back in the draft that you can develop and can pick up reps while this running back one that you just signed picks up more opportunity. And then by the time he's ready to exit the league, then you have a guy who has 3 years of experience coming out of the draft in a second or third round situation. And then they're more primed for that opportunity. That's kind of the situation with the Cowboys, right? You look at free agency. Granted, let's pretend here for a minute that the Cowboys have a little bit more money. Let's say they end up getting the Zach Moss yesterday.
Yeah.
So they're able to get the Zach Moss and bring in, let's say, I don't know, a Braylon Allen. And they can work those two guys with each other. By the time Zach Moss is done with his 2 or 3 year deal, again, theorizing here, Braylon Allen's ready to take that step and be that guy, because you've developed him under that system for so long. And then you can kind of work him around a small back. So it just makes sense for why the running back market played out the way that it did yesterday when you look at what you're dealing with in the draft here. And I think another interesting part of this whole entire thing, too, for the Cowboys' perspective, is where does Jonathan Brooks fit within this? Because if Jonathan Brooks is their guy, and that's their target.
Yeah.
They have to be able to be okay with the fact that he might not be 100% until October. And so what do you do with that in free agency? Do you just kind of let everything fall by the wayside and you end up with Rico Dowdle starting week one? I mean, Jonathan Brooks is probably ready by week one. I mean, everything that we've heard is that he'll be ready by training camp. But as far as being full speed, being ready to go.
Right. We've seen this before with these knee injuries with the Cowboys, for sure.
Yeah. So it's what? How do you kind of play with that? And so if you don't have a guy that you feel comfortable with coming out of free agency, a guy like Jonathan Brooks is probably off the board. So you're looking at a guy that can come in, contribute day one. I'll tell you what, there's going to be a day two running back that's going to be very happy to wear the star on his helmet going into training camp, because he's going to have a huge opportunity in front of him. I think a guy's really going to be able to hit on that.
Kind of along those same lines, you're talking about pairing a veteran with a rookie with a draft pick. who, let's say there is no veteran. Let's say they come up empty, which I don't believe. I think they're going to add somebody at some point, whether it's Dowdle and they bring him back, or they have Deuce Vaughn, they have Malik Davis in the room. Which running back in this draft class do you feel like would be best suited to carry a RB1 workload going into year number one with the Dallas Cowboys?
Braylon Allen. I love Braylon Allen. I think it's a good fit for the Cowboys. Is he the best fit? Probably not. You did ask for the best fit, didn't you?
I did ask for best fit.
I just love what Braylon Allen brings, though. He has the size. He has the ability to get those yards that you couldn't get last year in the short yardage situations. He is what you have not had. Bring him in and see what he can bring to the offense.
Yeah, I would lean towards if you the first one off my board to get do something like that. I'd love to have Brooks, but the injury concern I think is warranted. Trey Benson to me is a guy that I would absolutely feel like that, you know, at 6 foot, 216 pounds. I feel like that could be an every down back. I think he can handle the workload quite well. The physicality that he plays with, the way he catches the football, the way he runs his running style and all that. I just feel like, to me, that's the guy that you put back there, you plug him in, and you just go to work. I'm going to say this Marshawn Lloyd from USC is another guy.
Good player.
That I really, really like. And I'm sorry, but I'm late to the party on him. Mm-hmm. But this kid transferred from South Carolina. He tore his ACL in 2020, but, you know, he's kind of, when you watch him play at USC, this guy's an explosive player, and he catches the ball well. He makes people miss. I feel like he's got the toughness to be an every down player for you. And so he's on those guys. He could score anywhere on the field. So there's a couple of guys that I would look at. I like what Nick's talking about with Allen. I think there's some straight line to his game. Mm-hmm. But I think he's really, really tough. Just keep handing him the ball, and you know, he's going to make positive plays there. But, man, I was looking for somebody a little bit more explosive, and Marshawn Lloyd was that guy for me.
I really like Lloyd as well because he's very laterally quick. He's got that lateral quickness to him. I don't think he has a ton of vision. He's a patient runner.
Right.
But I think it's mostly because he's waiting for the hole to come to him before actually really diving into the line of scrimmage. I really like his pass protection ability as well. And you're missing that element now with Tony Pollard and, of course, Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, Tony got better at it because there were some questions about, you know, Zeke was one of the few guys that came in and immediately picked it up.
He was elite.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, then, you know, Tony had to kind of learn how to, I think Skip Pete along the way really helped him, and he developed some toughness, and he was good with the pickup. He was very aware, and that's something you have to have with these backs.
On the other side, you talked about Trey Benson a little bit. He's my RB2 right now. He's the second running back in the class behind Jonathan Brooks. Brooks's injury does concern me,
right?
But he's so explosive when he is healthy. I think he is still the best running back in the class. The thing about Benson, he's got straight line speed, but he also runs through contact. He has some physicality to his game. Right. Not necessarily going to be a huge piece of the passing game. I don't think he's a great route runner, but what he does do well is he stands at 6'1", and he has some speed and a full head of steam to put behind 223 pounds. I will take that all day, every day. If he's durable, if he's a playmaker, he can take the full workload of an RB1 in year number one, give me that all day.
He punishes guys. There's no question about that. I was amazed how fast he can get going in the open field. Mm-hmm. That's something that I was kind of not expecting that with him, but you watch him run. He can pick him up and put him down the open field.
Yeah, I think there's a handful of running backs that you would be okay with walking through this door. Probably five or six that, you know, if the Cowboys ended up pulling on day two,
Who are your five or six? Let's start talking about it.
Yeah, let's go ahead. I talked about Jonathan Brooks. I'm going to leave him out of this equation just because you need a guy that can contribute immediately.
Sure.
I'm going to throw in Trey Benson, Bucky Irving, Braylon Allen. Man, talking about being late to the party, Zach, with Jalen Wright. I'm with him.
Dude, he's fun.
Jalen Wright is.
I'm with him on Jalen Wright. Marshawn Lloyd. And I love Blake Corum. I understand the size concerns and everything, but that's a guy who's been productive. He's a bruiser despite being 5'8". I think he would be just fine in this building. Those are probably my six. And then I've talked about Isaiah Davis on day three a lot. I still really love what he brings. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to make a day three pick look really smart.
So I'm shocked that you didn't say Bucky Irving.
I did say Bucky Irving.
Oh, you did? Yeah, sorry. I must have missed it. Audric Estime, Notre Dame. We've talked about him a couple times before.
I'm okay.
I think he's a good runner.
We talked
about Ray Davis.
I'm not okay with him, too. I agree on that.
You don't like Estime?
No, I don't.
Why not?
I'm not a big fan of his.
Okay.
I don't. To me, I just don't see. I see a guy that has power, mm-hmm. but I don't see any speed. And you saw that at the combine with his time. He you know,
4.71.
That was one of the times when you're like thinking, okay, he's in the blocks. You watch him take off, and then he ran the time he did. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense to me. One of my lines was, I don't see great long speed. I'll see him finish some runs. I'll see him finish forward. I see him get positive yards. I thought he was really straight line in the way. I didn't think there was a lot of lateral agility with his run. I thought it was that short, choppy kind of steps. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he has much quickness as a runner. And I worry about people getting, like, all of a sudden, if it's not blocked well, can he escape? Can he create? I don't see it with him at all.
He's a jag for me. Just a guy.
Just a guy.
Just a guy. Yeah.
So where do you take him? If let's say you miss out on running backs late, do you take him at all?
I have a fourth on him. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, I have a fourth on him. I think if he's sitting there in the I like Isaiah Davis more than Archie.
Really?
I really enjoy Isaiah Davis, man. I'm going to continue to hammer that one home.
I think he's a fun day three guy. I'm not like the toot-toot of the Isaiah Davis hype train.
Don't worry.
Yeah, that's
does anybody like Will Shipley from Clemson?
Yes.
I mean, is there anything
limited? I think, and I think his ceiling is going to be very low here. But I think you understand what you're getting whenever you pick him. But that's a guy I think you bring in with a running back room that already has a Saquon Barkley or already has a. I think
this guy could be kind of a mismatch player as a receiver. I'm not talking about putting him out wide.
Back.
Yeah, but you know, you watch. He's had a ton of carries. He has. Clemson just. They play old school football mm-hmm. in a phone booth there, and they hand the ball to him. But there is some quickness to the game, and he kind of makes something out of nothing every once in a while. And that's where, when you see him in space, the quickness to make tacklers miss on the move. I love the way he catches the ball. I didn't think he could run away from many defenders, but there is times where you see him be able to separate and finish in that regard. So if you were looking, you know, like day three, I kind of feel like, though, that this guy is going to – he's got the frame to get tough yards, and he's going to catch the football, and I think he's going to make plays in the passing game that way. So that's why I kind of – I think you're going to have another back with him. But this guy's got the ability to make some plays. So I kind of like that about him.
I had a high fifth on him for much of the same reasons. I think he's going to be a value pick in day three. Yeah. Just a guy that you can bring in, and he's going to contribute, make a roster,
He'll
continue to give you some versatility as a backup. Maybe not a featured back. But there's a couple guys like that. We're talking about when it comes to the Cowboys, yes, you want to find somebody that can create.
Uh-huh.
But there are a lot of really good complementary backs in this draft, too. I think you can go up and down the list of Frank Gore Jr. from Southern Miss is somebody we haven't talked about a whole lot. Cody Schrader from Missouri. I think that's a complimentary back.
I tried to bring him up. And then
Schrader?
And he ran like 4.6, but he plays faster than that.
Yeah.
You watch him. They hand the ball to him, and Missouri does a good job offensively with their scheme. But, man, he is running through arm tackles. He's finishing runs. He could catch the football. I think there's an element of toughness to his game, the way he finishes runs. I was trying to kind of bring him up earlier,
mm-hmm.
and you guys give me the crickets on that one. But
I'll back you up on it.
I'm kind of out on Schrader. The only thing that I don't.
I'm going to counter with you because I'm out on Blake Corum.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go after
this. A battle.
I think here with Cody Schrader. I think he's really stiff. I mean, he's stiff as a board.
Yeah.
It worries me where he can bring athleticism to the next level. And I think, you know, it's a great story. Former walk-on at Missouri.
Now you're going to tell me the great story about the guy. You're going to be nice.
Missouri, being
this
able
is
to
known
make
as a compliment sandwich is what this is known as.
It's exactly. Because he's a complimentary back.
Okay.
but I think I put a fifth round on him. I'm not huge on Cody Schrader.
Yeah.
I think he has some flashes at Missouri.
Sure.
Absolutely. I think he had an awesome offensive line in front of him as well. I'm not sold on Cody Schrader.
Oh,
I think you can get more athletic guys even on day three.
Oh, no, I think you got him in the right round.
Yeah.
I just think you're not respecting him that much right now.
That's what I thought. Whenever you were saying, ah, I'm out on him, I thought you were going to throw a seventh
I mean,
on
there are guys who want to take him second day. I mean, there are people in the draft community this is a third round guy. I'm not there.
Fifth round pick, I think, is fair for that
guy.
Yeah, to me, like
we're more on the same page than I thought. If he is there in the fifth round, Isaac Garrido more. I like
Talk about Garrido then, because I'm with you on this one.
Yeah, well, let's talk about his speed first. He won four state championships in the state of Indiana.
He was the best testing running back they had.
Yeah,
right?
In high school, he ran a 10.51 in high school in the 100 meter, which is blazing.
It's pretty quick,
especially for his size. Really productive at Louisville in his 1 year after transferring in from Washington, Wisconsin, where he had a lot of production there in 4 years. Initially, I thought he was more of a complimentary guy.
Yeah.
But I think there's some ability for him to be a featured back. When you look at his speed, what he can do in the receiving game, he has sneaky downhill short yardage ability.
You're not wrong.
Despite that size, he has a knack for being able to pick up those hard-earned yards. Yeah. The one thing that worries me is his injury history. Hamstring injury, Lisfranc injury, but 6'1", 225 pounds. I think he can take those hits. If he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be a really good back there on day three.
Man, Nick had a good day on one back. Even he was doing Blake Corum and all these other backs, and he got this.
Like, wow, I found
he got this
Garrido.
One right. He this got this guy right. Yeah.
What's your beef with Blake Corum?
I'll tell you what, though. To me, with Blake, I think he's going to have to. I don't see him as a featured guy. And I know at Michigan, I know what he did. Again, the 5'8", you know, I kind of see what, and I know I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth on that one, though. But, man, I've seen a lot of carries. I don't see that burst and speed and that with this guy. Mm-hmm. I worry about him just getting completely wore down, trying to run inside. I don't know if he doesn't have that, you know, that – I think there's ways that you can see him run the ball and he'll throw off defenders by his running style. But, man, I just worry about, you know, how much yards can he really, really create on his own. That's my biggest concern with him. I think he's got some quickness. I do think he's got some ability to make those jump cuts, power in the red zone, short yarded stuff. But I just worry about how many carries he's taken. And at his size, at his height, put it that way, you know, that would not, I just didn't see him as a featured guy, but I could see if you split him with somebody, I feel like you're right. He could be productive in that way.
He's going to take some hits because he's a good pass protector too.
Yeah.
So he's going to take some hits in the pass game as well. But
he's built like a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is.
I think there's an opportunity for him to be able to be reliable downhill.
Yeah.
But that's a good point. So over a 17 game season, how much can you take there?
Yeah.
I think something very fun about him. We were able to get an interview with him a few weeks ago when he was here for the Jason Witten Award ceremony. You know who his favorite running back was growing up? Marion Barber.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Another Big Ten guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can kind of see that a little bit with him because
low center gravity,
he's got a little
toughness.
Bit of a barbarian to him a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think he could be a power runner despite his size.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very good point that you bring up. How much of that can he take? Because you look at – I've compared him so much to Kyren Williams over the course of this draft process. And you see what Kyren Williams had to deal with last year with injury.
Yeah.
And he was on the IR there for a little bit. Still was able to make an all-rookie team. But you have to factor that in whenever you're looking at a guy that's 5'8", because how many 5'8" guys are taking those hits year after year after year?
These 5'8" guys we're trying to evaluate, and like I say, Corum, Ray Davis, our USC running back. I mean, if you gave me a choice of the shorter running back kind of guy, I'm taking our guy at USC. I'm just
Marshawn Lloyd.
Lloyd, yeah. I just, you know, I'm kind of. They're all like in that 210 to 220 pound range. And they're all really good backs. But I just think in this day and age, you have to be able to consistently make people miss.
Yeah.
And I wonder with Blake Corum, has he had so many carries? Can he make people always miss?
You know, it's interesting because you brought this up in the would you rather?
Would you rather?
Last week it was Corum versus Ray Davis.
Yeah,
correct? I went back and looked at it, and it's these two guys are at the top of the list, so it's not like it's a huge discrepancy. Ray Davis had 600 more collegiate snaps.
There's no carry. I mean, there's no carry. No, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. See, that's the thing about it.
Both of those guys are
when you start to talk about, when you're that height. How much more can you take? And there's some people that will tell you, Brian, take a running back. This is going to sound terrible. Take a running back, use him up, and get another one.
Yeah.
You know? And there's people that subscribe subscribe to that theory.
Yeah.
So I could see Blake Corum going somewhere. I could see him being super productive. I could see him circling back at the draft show and, you know, and me going to Nick, hey, you were right about that guy. And then, you know, we do another draft show 2 years from now and like, well, they're replacing Blake Corum here.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I mean, but that's
how it goes.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. But either way, we started this conversation talking about Cowboys running back fits. You need somebody that can create. I don't think Davis or Corum are in that list.
No, for me. I mean, I think Nick has a different opinion of Corum than I do, which is cool. I mean, you know,
I think there you go.
I just worry about, like I say, I look at Lloyd and I see that. You know, I see that darting around and stuff like that and his ability. But like I said, I think the Cowboys have got some choices here.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not disappointed in the choices they have. And we didn't even bring up Dylan Johnson from Washington. Mm-hmm. Now he's dealing with a foot injury and all that. I mean, he ran at the combine. He didn't run a great time. But you watch him the last three seasons. So, he transfers from Mississippi State, Washington. This guy, he's got some ability to him as well. I mean, I think he's elusive enough, but I wouldn't call it his overall strength. But there's some quality backs in this draft.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And it could end up that one of them has a star on the side of their helmet.
Yeah.
When we come back here on the draft show, we're going to get to some Twitter on the 20. We're going to answer your questions for the remainder of the show because there's a lot of questions that Cowboys Nation has to be answered. When we come back right after this.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The DallasCowboys.com draft show.
Back here on the DallasCowboys.com draft show, Nick Harris, Brian Broaddus, I'm Kyle Yeomans. It's time now for Chris Beam to hit the button because it's
Twitter on the 20. 20.
Twitter on the 20. There are a lot of great questions today. Cowboys Nation is frustrated, no doubt about it. The inaction in day one of the legal tampering period in the NFL. Garrett wants to ask, what would the Cowboys' best option be at center if they don't end up getting lucky and drafting a Jackson Powers Johnson, getting a center on day two, or trying to sift through the free agency market and find a center from there? I'll let Nick Harris start this one out.
Yeah, so I'll give you three options there. If Jackson Powers Johnson is not available there at 24, which I do not expect him to be, you have the option of taking Graham Barton. And that's a situation where you could probably trade back a few spots and still pick up Graham Barton there at 27, 28 or whatever.
Pick up that 99th pick Brian was talking
there
about.
There you go. And if Graham Barton's not there in the first round, then you have potentially Zach Frazier there at 56. I don't think he's there at 56.
Would that be another trade back situation for you, though?
It could be. I think you'd still be swinging on him a little early. But, yeah. I mean, if you're there to pick up an extra pick and you're comfortable with Zach Frazier, do it. I'm a firm believer. And if you like the player, take him.
He brings toughness.
Yeah. And if you don't end up with any three of those guys somehow, if they fall through your hands or you're going for the tackle in the first round, Dallas has shown a lot of interest in Cedric Van Pran Granger out of Georgia. Yeah. So that's a guy you could probably look at there in the third round. You talk about instincts, IQ, physicality. I think that you get that with Cedric Van Pran Granger, the thing that you're going to be worried about early on. He's still very raw. He's a developmental project, I think.
298 pounds, right? Is what he weighed at the combine?
Yeah. So starting him early on, you're really going to be able to, you're going to have to put some weight on him. You're going to have to throw some technique with him a little bit. He might struggle year one, but I think down the line he could be a better player for you.
I like Limmer from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Would be another guy. And we talked about Bortolini as well from Wisconsin.
Yep.
I kind of feel like, though, that there's options. Second round options potentially, Van Pram and the third, Limmer, Bortolini. I kind of see them as fourth round guys. So I think that you can grab one of these centers. This is not a bad crew. And I haven't looked at the Penn State kid yet.
Hunter Norris. I was just about to bring him up whenever you got done there.
Okay. Is he going to be better than Van Pram in the third? Is he going to be better than Limmer? Do you have
So he's going day three.
Okay.
And in which case, if he's there in the fifth or if he's there in the sixth.
Okay, so he's that type of player then.
Yeah. I think you're going to get an opportunity to be able to hit on Norzad.
Okay.
I really liked him at the Shrine Bowl.
There's like two or three other centers that I need to look at. And it's the same thing when I did with Lloyd. Very late to the party here, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, I like Lloyd better than, you know, some other guys that I kind of had there in that third round area. So – yeah, centers available throughout.
Kind of along the same lines, Alex asked the question, with the amount of offensive linemen signing so quickly in this tampering period or agreeing to terms so quickly, does that help Dallas have one of those tackles or one of the offensive linemen like a Jackson Powers Johnson possibly slide to 24 that would have gone higher to some of these teams ahead of the pack?
The one that was me, for instance, was the center. I think the Dolphins signed a center that made – that to me was kind of one of those like, okay, that knocked them out. You know, now
Aaron Brewer, they signed him for 3 years, $21 million.
Philly's got to sign. You know, Philly might plug and play one of their current guys. I think that would take him out of the market. Pittsburgh, right? Another team that could potentially use a center. So I'm let all these teams grab centers and let me have a crack at one of these other guys if I can.
Yeah, I kind of make the joke yesterday on Twitter, but jokes don't really hit on Twitter.
Yeah, this is not a good time for jokes on Twitter.
But I made the joke. I was like, oh, Miami got their center. That's one less team that's going to be picking in front of the Cowboys that could take Jackson Powers Johnson. That's the best news all day. And everyone was like, oh, you're stupid. He's still going to get drafted by Pittsburgh. I was like, all right, man, just.
Yeah.
I tweeted out today, I was like, let's talk about the action and inaction about the Cowboys free agency, which is a fact. It's been action and inaction. Right. They're like, well, what action have they taken? I'm like, that's part of the
welcome to the draft show.
Yeah, that's how it goes. All right. Let's go down to Cam says he wants to get your opinion on two scenarios. Option A, and we kind of talked about this a little bit, trade back with Kansas City. The Kansas City Chiefs 32. At 32 overall after winning the Super Bowl yet again.
Yep.
They give you 32, 95, and 132 for pick 24. So you pick up two extra picks.
Yes.
A third-round pick and a fourth-round pick, and you draft either Zach Frazier, West Virginia,
or Morgan, the offensive tackle from Arizona, and go from there.
The offensive guard from Arizona. Go ahead.
What was that?
The offensive guard from Arizona.
He's playing a guard.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. His arms are too short. Worries me a little bit.
He is pretty short. Or his arms are short. Option B, draft the offensive tackle, Fatanu at 24, who falls in a bit of a scenario. Linebacker Junior Colston out of Michigan at 56. And you take Jalen Wright out of Tennessee at 87. You stay put, but you have three scenarios where guys fall to you that probably shouldn't be there.
I don't think Wright gets to you at 87. Yeah,
that's part of the scenario here. This is a lucky scenario, or you're picking up draft capital.
I'm taking that first one. I'm taking that first scenario. I'm drafting Zach Frazier there at 32 and picking up two extra picks on day two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm taking that. And you can work those picks around and still probably end up with a Junior Colston or a Jalen Wright or whatever because you have those two extra picks. I'm taking that 10 times out of 10, especially given this free agency outplay.
Okay. What were the haul on it, by the way?
You got 95. I got to scroll back up to
95. Yeah, okay.
95 and 132.
And 132.
And you keep 32 and you draft either Morgan or Frazier.
I wonder if we did the math on that, how that works. Sometimes if it's like a massive overpay, that teams wouldn't consider it, you know. But I would be interested to see. I'd need to pull out my chart and do that one to see if that's a massive overpay for Kansas City.
I'll bring up the chart.
Bring it up and tell me, give me the numbers on it.
While you're doing that, Derrick Henry has signed with the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. So that is another one off the board. Not that he was going to end up in the Cowboys.
No, that was they offered him like $9 million. I think that was what that was going to be. So you have a somewhat of a chart that we can as you're looking at it.
740 is what 24 is worth.
Okay, so
It's 740.
Yep.
They gave you 120 with the pick number 95.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between 24 and 32?
I'm bad at quick math. 150 points. So they got to make up 150 points.
They got to make up 150 points. Okay, give me the price for pick 95, please.
120.
Okay, give me the price for that 130, whatever you were doing with
it. That would be the early fifth round, 40.
So it's 160.
So they're overpaying like a tiny bit.
You know, okay, now
it's 160 and you're making up from 150.
Maybe you give one of those fifth round comp picks next year. I don't know.
No, I think to me, okay, now that makes sense.
That's a little bit of an overpay.
Yeah, it's a little bit of overpay, but it's not. It's something. It's the price of doing business. So, but what you got to think about though too, and you know, and that's okay because again, that pick 95. That's right at the end of day two, and so now you're in that situation where you know you're kind of like, okay, we can sleep on our board. Now we come back around, and you know we've got Kansas City's pick again at what 132 is what you said. I'm all about this. If that's what you want to do, then that seems like to me a very reasonable trade to make. If you in fact you want to move back to 32, and you have one of these centers in mind or your guard. Hey, would you guys consider drafting J.C. Latham from Alabama and making him a guard?
Yes.
That's an interesting one.
And if you drafted him, because again, I was talking to some guys around the league, they don't think he could be a left tackle, but they feel like that he could be an all-pro guard.
Yeah. Hmm.
So would you draft him, put him in that spot, left guard, and kick Tyler Smith?
You know what I'm going to say here. I think with Jace, if you're looking at J.C. Latham and Tyler Smith under that same umbrella, I think you see better potential for J.C. Latham at tackle and Tyler Smith there at guard. But I think if you were in any other franchise, you had a hole there at guard that you needed to fill, it makes sense for J.C. Latham. I think because he has that short, quick physicality and that quick punch right there. I did note that with him. I think he can take on some bigger, wider guys as well.
Well, I want to backtrack to what you just said. So you said Tyler Smith doesn't have the same ceiling that J.C. Latham has in those respective positions.
At tackle.
Do you feel like Tyler Smith can't play tackle?
No, I didn't say that at all.
Maybe not can't play tackle, but you feel like he's better suited at guard?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So taking Morgan out of Arizona,
by the way. They're agreeing with you right now.
With taking Arizona's Morgan, like you talked about, putting him at guard – doesn't interest
I'm not taking him. Yeah, unfortunately.
You would rather take a true tackle and put him to the left of Tyler Smith.
We talked on the first episode here after the combine, hey, who are you taking at 24? And I said Jordan Morgan. Mm-hmm. And like the next day, I immediately regretted it because I started looking more at Jordan Morgan, started focusing in on him a little bit more because I was like, man, this guy makes sense. And the more I watch and the more I go back, this guy's a guard. I think
he could play tackle. I just do. I see a guy, a big guy with like knee bend and flexibility and width. And I don't know. I mean, maybe you're onto something.
The short arms are concerning to a slight degree, but it's not like it's going to affect him. It didn't affect him at Arizona. He was nailed.
I mean, he carries
Arizona.
His hands low and still gets them up inside. Yes. Yeah. And that's, I don't know. I mean, I just, to me, I have more problems with other guys than I do him. Like Mims. I have problems with Mims and him not playing a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And everybody loves Mims. I don't hate Mims. I'm just scared to death. I'm looking at 8 games.
Yeah.
You know? That's the only thing I'm really nervous about with him.
Next question goes to the wide receiver position. Then we're going to take our second break. Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. Hector wants to know if he's a possible day 2 option. Could he play the X, allowing CeeDee Lamb to play in the slot more frequently outside?
Theoretically, but I think if you're taking Xavier Leggett, you're taking him with the idea of him being an offensive weapon that you can line up anywhere. I'm talking outside, inside, out of the backfield specifically.
It still fits with Lamb too, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does.
Then
but
it makes him
like,
interchangeable.
I think he's asking like just throw him at the X and leave him there. I'm not. He's a versatile weapon that I want to be able to move around.
They figured out at South Carolina that multiple use wide receiver. They Debo Samuel, South Carolina guy. I mean, same thing with this Leggett. Why do I have 5 wide receivers that I would take over Leggett?
Yeah, I'm the same way. There's probably 6 or 7 for me.
See, I mean, I don't see. Yeah. I mean, you start to talk about are they talking about a second round grade on this guy?
I'm thinking I would put a third on him.
I mean, I have him in the third myself. Yeah. But I was wondering if
he said day 2, so it could be second or third.
That's what I'm saying. I was wondering if he was thinking a second round grade on this guy.
I bet you it's more so a third because if you're looking at best player available, it's going to be best player available with a little bit of need kind of sprinkled in there, which is going to be offensive line, running back, linebacker in those first.
Guys, tell me where you have McConkey from Georgia.
I have him in the second.
Second as well.
He's wide receiver 7 for me. I'm higher on him.
Okay, I've got him as wide receiver 8.
Okay.
Do you have your stack anywhere?
I don't have them completely ranked yet, but he would probably end up falling in that 8 to 10 range. For me.
How many first round grades do you have at wide receiver?
4.
I have 5. So I've got Harrison, 5. Neighbors, Adunze, Franklin, Brian Thomas Jr. Those are my 5.
Wait, run through those again.
Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State, Malik Neighbors, LSU, Rome Adunze from Washington, Troy Franklin, Oregon, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU.
Man, I might be way, way wrong about Franklin.
You don't like Franklin?
I'm not a fan.
Wow. Why is that?
Not a fan.
We were just talking about him upstairs yesterday.
Tell me what you guys got on this guy. I'm interested to hear what you would say about this Franklin player.
6'2", 4.41 speed. I mean, that's 1-2 punch that I really like. I think he's a mismatch nightmare. Brings the ability to play outside. He can play inside. He brings threats deep game. He's got deep ball ability.
Sure.
He wins at the line of scrimmage. He's not super physical. Even though he does have that 6'1" frame, but I think he does what he can as a blocker. I think most of it is because he's only 185 pounds. Like he's pretty thin.
He's 176.
He's 176.
He's 6'2". He's 176. That's what he was at the combine.
Yeah, so 176, wiry guy. But I think the NFL has shown recently wiry, tall wide receivers can have success. Devontae Smith. This guy's not Devontae Smith, but he was used in a similar way in that Oregon offense. And I see a playmaker ability with some size. If you can put a little bit of weight on him, then all of a sudden I think he's a game changer at the next level.
We're talking about a guy you would have to compare with Xavier Worthy, and I'm taking Worthy over Franklin 10 times
As a whole?
Yeah.
I think Franklin's a more complete receiver than Worthy. Worthy's speed, sure, great, love it. If you can utilize it, that's fine. Tyreek Hill was that way. But I see Troy Franklin as a more complete receiver than Xavier
Worthy. Do you think there's not a route running to Xavier Worthy's game? Because I don't think he's a technician.
I don't think he's a technician. I don't think he's a bad route runner, though. Okay. I think Troy Franklin's a technician, and I think you can use him in the screen game. I think you can use him in bubbles and sweeps and all sorts of stuff. He can carry the football, and he can run through contact.
I think his speed is his most redeeming quality. And I kind of like our guy from Tennessee last year that just
Jalen Hyatt
that just ran by people. I kind of see some similarities in that, and I get it. This guy, it's amazing the number of deep ball plays this guy makes, and I wonder about that because I did see some snaps where people play him in the press, and he had a struggle.
Sure.
Getting off that, and I wonder if with it being
the frame,
if the 176, is he gonna? But this cat can flat run. I mean, he showed you that, and he can run by people. That's another thing. But I think I would go. And the thing about Worthy is, damn, Worthy ain't much bigger. You know, when you look at weight wise, I mean, Worthy's in. If you look at the combine measurements and stuff like that with Worthy. Worthy was,
I think he was 165.
165, 5'11", 165.
Yeah.
Is what he was. And so, man, I mean, that's
smaller than Franklin.
He is smaller. But, you know, my son told me this. My son goes to Texas. He goes, Daddy's Calvin Ridley with speed is what he is. And I'm like, oh, okay. But look at this on the film. Are you tracking the ball and stuff like that?
Both of these guys can track the football.
That's what I'm saying, though. We're talking about 165 and 172. Is what we're talking about right now. Yep. And so
he stepped in the bucket there. He wasted three steps right there on that route. I'll count it. 1, 2, 3. Bang, bang, bang.
You know, Kennedy.
I think he's a good route runner. I don't think he's perfect.
Show me the post corner that he had against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that'll be different.
Let me
ask you this. So how do you feel about Bo Nix, a quarterback in Oregon? How do you feel about him? Just in general.
Very, he was complimented by his weapons around him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very much let somebody else
draft him kind of a thing.
I'm not saying Troy Franklin's a bad receiver. I'm not saying that at all.
But how do you feel about Quinn Ewers at Texas? I know he's not a 24 draft prospect.
I think with another year of development and confidence, we'll be talking about him in the top 10 next year.
Exactly. So I just think there's a utilization problem. Troy Franklin was the
Oregon
offense.
Nobody's saying Franklin's bad. I worry, like, when I saw people press him, I worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are going to – they're probably going to be nervous about his speed because he does run by people. But to me, the way I would play him is I would walk up on him and make him try and escape.
Get physical with him.
Yeah, because that he – if you give him free access in the route, he is going to murder you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of where I'm at with Franklin there.
I like this. A little debate of speed. A little speed debate between wide receivers. All right.
I got Worthy higher, by the way. Yeah.
Where do y'all have him? Just curious.
Second round.
Second?
Yeah. Second.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
I think he'll end up going first, but I have a second round grade on him.
I have Worthy in the Buck second, too.
But 65
I have Troy Franklin in the first. All right. We'll be back with more of the draft show here in a second. We'll answer some more questions right after this.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered.
What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show presented by Miller Lite. You can register now for 2024 Dallas Cowboys Youth Camps presented by Invisalign. Athletes of all skill levels, ages 6 to 16, are invited to learn from the best this summer at Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Football camps led by former NFL players and dance camps taught by the current Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. Register before May 17th to save $25. Visit DallasCowboys.com/camps. Today, the segment brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Got a couple more Twitter on the 20 questions we want to ask before getting out of here. When it comes to rebuilding for the future, and by rebuilding, I mean building for the future.
They might be rebuilding. Yeah. We just don't know.
They
don't say it, but they might be rebuilding.
Well, let's answer that question. Jay Poole says, do you think the Cowboys are rebuilding for next year by letting Dak play out his contract and his current cap hit, re-signing Lamb and Parsons next year and building around that, and then getting rid of the current contracts and the veterans that are on the roster at the moment to start fresh in 2025 with a legitimate amount of cap space?
Brian?
No, you live in the building. I'll say this, though. I think they're rebuilding without telling us they're rebuilding. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I don't think the 2025 cap is going to be anything great.
No, it's
you know, they've got a lot of things, and you know, they understand what they're up against. I'll tell you the biggest problem that happened for the Cowboys, all these contracts came up at the same time. Mm-hmm. They couldn't stagger these contracts. That's a big issue now for them that they're dealing with. But Gavin Dawson on 105.3 The Fan yesterday on our show, the G-Bag Nation, he asked that question, are they rebuilding? And we all kind of paused for a minute and said, kind of feels like that.
Kind of looks like it, huh?
Kind of feels like that right now.
I don't think there's a conscious decision going on that they are rebuilding in 2024. Mm-hmm. I think there's an opportunity. It's not as great as it was in 2023.
Right.
But there's an opportunity to still put a really good team on the field.
Sure.
Hopefully you hit on a couple draft picks. They're able to contribute. DeMarvian Overshone comes back, makes a big impact.
Mozzie Smith gets better.
Yeah. Schoonmaker.
Yeah, exactly. And you're able – guys all around. And you're able to develop. And hopefully at some point, by the time you get to January, you have a better situation than you did in that Green Bay game.
Right.
That's probably the hope. Right. But coming out of 2024, I think there might be a conscious decision as far as, okay, we're looking at that. If this doesn't work in 24, we're looking at that to rebuild.
Yep.
Because that's your earliest opportunity to do it. I don't think there's a need to do it right now because of everything that you have coming up in the next year, contract-wise, on-field-wise, coach-wise.
Sure.
But there's an opportunity to do that in 2025 if you don't like the product that you see. So I don't think there's an opportunity to I don't think there's a decision to rebuild right now. You still have a really good product that has won 12 games, three consecutive seasons that you can throw on the field and probably end up with a 10-win season and make the playoffs next year. And, you know, we'll see from there.
You make the tournament, see what goes. Yeah.
But I think once you get to 2025.
But we know that's a first-round exit.
yeah, exactly. But I think once you get to 2025, you look around the room, you see what's happened the last four seasons at that point,
yeah.
Be like, okay, things have got to change around here.
So, I think that's a reality that Cowboys fans are – maybe not struggling to accept, but just haven't necessarily accepted yet, is yes, this is a team that they thought was good enough to get it done in 2023. It wasn't. It lost in the first round, got blown out by the Packers, and it didn't necessarily work out. But there's one last opportunity to at least give it a shot, give it a try, and if it doesn't work out, then you start all the way from scrap.
I'm telling you, man, we're going to have a fun time on this show next year.
The draft
year,
show
man.
Might be a blast.
We're
going to
have a good time. Comp picks, rebuild.
But even with all of that, yeah, maybe a top five pick. Who knows? With all of that being said, if you hit on your draft picks this year, it extends your window. But
I don't think this team will ever be bad as long as they let them draft.
Yeah.
I think they will always figure out a way, and I know last year wasn't. We'll see what happens with, but I always feel like that this team is in the ballpark when it comes to drafting.
Yeah.
Or they always have a chance. They let him add five, six players. They're going to probably find three or four of those guys that can play.
Yeah.
They didn't last year, but they have a pretty good history of doing it.
Let's talk about the window. The window is closed, but it's unlocked from the inside, and you're locked out of your house, and you need to get like a broomstick.
That's what the draft would do.
To like get the window up so you can get back through your house. That's the draft. The draft is whatever you use to get in. So, but I think in 2025, it's locked from the inside, and you're going to have to break that window to get through the house.
Look at all this. Look at all the imagery that we're using to finish up the draft show today. I think you're right. I really do. And it's a partial rebuild at the moment. And not a conscious one, but it's one that you can maybe see in the future. If you hit on your draft picks, though, which they will if they listen to the draft show, they'll hit on their draft picks. But if they hit on the draft picks, then maybe you get an opportunity.
I think Nick's right about his assessment, though, about this team looking for next year, though, too.
Yep, that's how it goes.
Yep.
All right, that does it for us today here on the draft show. We'll be back on Thursday. I think both Brian and I are both out on Thursday.
So yeah, I'm sorry about that.
It'll be a different look Thursday.
For the last time until the draft, I'm not missing any more damn days. Trust me.
I won't promise that one. I've got paternity leave coming up at some point.
There you go.
At some point, it will be here. But
at some point.
But yeah, we'll be back Thursday, 11 a.m. Central, to talk it through, really, if there has been a move between now and then, how it affects things, and also look at this NFL draft. For Nick Harris, for Brian Broaddus, Chris Beam in the back, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long. We'll see you next coming up on Thursday with more of the draft show.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club. How about this?